Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Hi there, my dear friends, and welcome in the fifth part of the story about true meaning of life. Finally, I had my own apartment and I was alone in it. I didn't have any need to be together with somebody, to have roommate, as it was usual for us immigrants in those times of our life in New York, because it was always much cheaper to live together with somebody. But now I was in a completely different position, being in need of solitude, since it has been discovered to me that living God exists. And from that moment on, the most important thing in my life became to get in touch with that supreme creature, or better to say, because he is not a creature, he is the creator, with that supreme being. My apartment was beautiful, or the spirit who filled it was something absolutely unexpectable to me, that you can live in this world, on this earth, but to feel like you are in paradise. At that time, I became closer with an acquaintance of mine from Belgrade days. He was best friend of a brother of my best friend Dušan, called Gera. His name was Ninoslav. He was a very interesting person. He finished philosophy in Belgrade, and then he gave masters on Orthodox Christian Theological Seminary in Yonkers, New York. So he possessed a big number of Orthodox Christian books, mainly written by Holy Fathers, by the Fathers of the Church, and most of those authors were basically hermits, because the main Fathers of the Church, the pillars of the Church, were mostly hermits, or at least spending many years in the first half of their lives in the deserts, in complete solitude, dedicated completely to conversation or communicating or praying to the living God, and being enlightened through great feats and labors, spiritual labors, they were enlightened and they were given the great knowledge about all the mysteries of the created world, and also they received the key of the heavenly knowledge, of the knowledge of the uncreated world, knowledge of the very Lord and the world of spirits. So we became friends finally, and we became very close. In those days he was unfortunately in divorce with his wife. She was American, and they had a child, little daughter, called Kamala, because my friend was also very inclined towards Far East religions and philosophies. So he named his daughter Kamala, which in Sanskrit means the water flower, lotus. And when I understood that he has many books on spiritual issues, I asked him if he can give them to me, of course to lend me, so I can educate myself much more in this new religion that I have discovered. And I felt great need, great hunger to learn more and more about secrets of my new way of living, of my new way of life. And of course, one day he came by his car and he brought two or three boxes full of books. I was really delighted to see such a wealth. And from that day on, I started to read those books insatiably, really insatiably, because in those days of my beginning in my new religion, although it was religion that I was born in, but later on during my youth I strayed away from it and found myself in Far East religions, almost losing my life. But now those books were much more important to me, much more important than food, drink and air, if I can express myself this way. I was reading them every day for many hours, and I understood more about prayer, how important it is for a human being as a way of communicating with the very creator of the universe. So I have made my own prayer. I have constructed my own prayer, which consisted the name of Jesus Christ in it, but still not in a way of Jesus prayer as it should be. As I have inquired in the beginning in that book of that Russian monk from Mount Athos called Nilus of Sora, somehow I was not yet feeling very comfortable with that name, Jesus Christ. Somehow I became monotheist, but still more inclined towards God Father, towards creator of the universe, the existence of his incarnated son, Jesus Christ, was still not very understandable to me and not very acceptable yet. So I started to pray. I don't even remember the form of that prayer, but it was something like, Lord, help me to get closer to you. Lord God, God the Father, help me to change myself, to heal myself, to transfigure myself, because I almost finished my life by the suicide. I was so desperate before I met you. So help me now. Be with me, transfigure me, clean me, cleanse me, and give me that extremely important feeling and state of mind which is called repentance. Slowly but surely I started to feel great compunction and repentance, facing with living God and the whole new life opening in front of me, and yet at the same time remembering my previous life, how dirty it was, how suicidal it was, how self-destructive it was. So I was praying with my words this way, in between readings, also for many hours, and definitely many times during the course of that period, which was something like, let's say, about close to 1 month, I felt living presence of God and His advent into my heart. Very often I would feel the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it would come to me when I was not in the prayer, and I have been feeling that something is filling me from outside, from above, filling me more and more, so I thought that my heart is going to burst. How great and how intense it used to be from time to time. And sometimes I would go out on the back door of my apartment, because I was on the first floor. I would go out in the garden and, lifting up my eyes towards night heavens, night sky full of stars, and I was calling with my mind, "Oh Holy Spirit, come to me. Oh Holy Spirit, come to me. Fill me and never ever leave me again in my life. Help me to be this way, to be the way that it is pleasing to you, because this feeling of your presence is something most beautiful and most important in a human's life. Where I was all those years and how I survived without you, it was really hard to explain and hard to understand." So the days were passing by this way. During the day, I was in the mornings until noon, I was working. I used to put up flyers all over the New York City. Two kinds of flyers. One kind was, I was advertising myself doing small moving jobs with my van. And other kind was advertising myself as a artist. I was doing decorative art painting works in the apartments on the walls. But I was specialized for the furniture, not just regular restoration of old furniture, but more like a making artwork or a certain piece of furniture. So people started to call, and I had opportunity to make money, and I had opportunity to make some savings. So it was really blessed part of my life in New York. So for many days, I was able not to go to work, since the income was very good, and I understood that it was God's providence. It was not never like that before. So I have realized that God works not only on lofty levels about salvation in another world, but that He also works in a very simple matters of our everyday life, like making money, being healthy, and things like that. So I had the opportunity to stay at home. I didn't want really to go out anymore anywhere. I felt so good at home in comparison with my previous life, when I was not able to stay at home alone, not for an hour. I just needed somebody to be with me, or to go out and spend nights in nightclubs and discotheques. So now I was so satisfied being alone at my apartment and reading and praying and praying and reading during the day and during the night. And I felt so good. So I didn't know which was more beautiful to me, reading those spiritually rich books or communing with the Lord through the prayer. Anyway, slowly I started to feel like I'm healing myself. It was like a therapy. But still, it was not completely, because I didn't know yet, and I didn't practice yet a very special and very sublime and very beautiful so-called Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So after about, let's say, 20 days or 1 month reading those books, I have realized that the strongest and the shortest way to the living God is actually this mystical and lofty prayer called Jesus Prayer. In the meantime, I started to read a lot Psalter, David's Psalms, and of course New Testament. Especially David's Psalms were very important to me. Reading those holy poems, this the most beautiful poetry in the world, my heart was healing from all those wounds that they were inflicted on my whole being. Especially during the night, I would wake up early in the morning, it was still dark, I would burn a little bit of incense, and then I would start reading aloud, orally, not very loud, to hear myself, but not by heart. And I would read for more than an hour, and during that reading, I would absolutely lose the feeling of my body. And very often, I felt such a deep repentance, because this feeling of repentance was so strong in those poems of King David's, because he was great repentant. He, as a human, did sins, did mistakes, adultery, murder, but as an enlightened prophet of the Lord, he realized his sin and he repented a lot. And you can feel deeply in David's Psalms this deep, strong, beautiful feeling of compunction, deep repentance over sins of his, over sins of all humanity. And slowly I was penetrating this beautiful science called Christianity. And then finally I have discovered and I understood that Jesus prayer is the most important prayer. And with God's help and thanks to all the heavens, I started with this beautiful prayer. First orally, as it was taught by church fathers, especially with those desert dwellers, hermits, who perfected this prayer to the supreme level. And then I have realized what really is live contact with living God. And after a while, when I have managed to acquire inner silence of my mind and of my soul, as the Holy Fathers were teaching, then slowly I switched to mental prayer, not saying it with mouth anymore, but just repeating it with mind. And then I have realized that it really resembles meditation, because I was meditating for more than 7 years. But only now I understood that, as a matter of fact, meditation resembles mental Jesus prayer, which is something much, much more higher than meditation. If I can explain and describe meditation, meditation comes from Far East. And as we know, or maybe somebody don't know, that basically in Buddhism and in Hinduism as well, there is no notion of living God, personal God. In Buddhism, not at all. In Hinduism, they mention God, but there are many gods. God is everywhere. It's a pantheism. God is everywhere. So, since God is everywhere, then God is nowhere. If God is cow, if God is monkey, if God is tree, if God is man, then there is no God. And meditation is actually worshipping yourself. Maybe people who meditate are not going to admit this, but it is this way, because I was meditating for almost 8 years, and I was a lot into Zen Buddhism and in transcendental meditation and in the whole philosophy of Far East. And I knew that meditation is a monologue. Monologue with yourself and worshipping yourself, trying to discover living God in yourself. But there is no mention of God as a person. This God that you are supposed to find in yourself is actually yourself. You are, in meditation, becoming God. You are becoming divine. You don't need actually God as a creator of the universe, God as a father, God as a supreme parent. You are God. And this is something really extremely tragical, because we can never be gods, because we are just creations. And being monologue, being making love to yourself, you can freely call it a spiritual masturbation, because making love to yourself is a masturbation. And the masturbation by itself is absolutely fruitless, because there is no other person that you make love with. It's worshipping yourself, making love with yourself, and making yourself divine, which actually in reality you can never be this way. But if we are talking about prayer, prayer is a dialogue. Prayer is a making love, but not to yourself. It's a making love with living God. It's a dialogue. And this way, when you make love with somebody else, it's fruitful. It brings fruit. It brings new life. It brings eternal life. And masturbation brings only death. So this way I have realized that prayer is really the supreme meditation, if I can call it this way, because all my life was dedicated to the meditation. And now I have discovered something much, much, much higher and incomparably more beautiful. This can understand only those who prayed, and who in their secret prayers came in touch with the living Lord. Or better to say, the living Lord, the living God, came to them and touched with his divine finger their hungry hearts. And then another special feeling and state of mind happened to myself. And that is which Holy Fathers described very precisely. And that's weeping that comes out of prayer. It's repentance weeping. It's not weeping like people in the world weep when they lose something worldly out of despair. But this crying, this weep, those tears used to come out of immense happiness, repentance, and great joy and hope that used to come in my heart when I was praying. And it was divine gift, because in prayer you cannot cry when you want. It is a divine gift. And only those who wept in their prayer, they knew what I'm talking about. They knew it's a divine gift. You can cry and weep, and you can shed tears only when the Lord gives it to you. And being, in a way, an absurd, because for this world, to weep, to cry, to shed tears is something bad, something that you have to stop, something that you don't have to allow yourself. But in spiritual life, with Lord, you cannot express the highest happiness that you feel, being fulfilled, being filled with the Holy Spirit, otherwise than to cry. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Because actually in this life we know when we are supremely happy and touched with something. For example, your wife gave birth to your son, newborn son, or many other things. Somebody is healed from cancer, or some really supremely beautiful news. Man simply cannot express his happiness except with shedding tears, except with crying. And this was really absolutely true in prayer, especially during the evenings and nights when New York would fall asleep and when the tumult of the day would calm down, and in the silence of the night I would lower my mind into my heart, and then I would lift up my heart towards heavens, and then the Lord would meet my prayer and respond to me, respond with His love. And then the rivers of tears would flow out from my eyes. And by these tears, my dirty and sick and painful soul was cleaning in such a beautiful way. Nothing can cleanse sorrowful soul and wounded heart like tears in prayer. And in those blessed prayers, with God's grace, time used to lose its regular flow, and time became relative. I remember sometimes I thought maybe 15 minutes passed, or half an hour, and then I would be very surprised to see that maybe 2 hours passed. And I was deep in prayer, not being conscious almost of the whole world, of my body, of my apartment. I would just go out of this reality and I would hover in some other realm. I would be there in some kind of state of without weight. And there I felt really fully alive. I was not losing my personality. I was not losing consciousness. I was so fully aware of myself, but also I was fully aware of living God. And this reality was spiritual reality. And I felt so immense love from that divine being. And besides that, I was feeling immortality. I was feeling in myself this fire of immortality, the flame of immortality. I felt so consciously that I'm immortal, that death doesn't exist. You only change the state of existence. You just take off your body, but soul stays alive. And not only soul, but your personality. And all those feelings were so intense that I was very often just without words, I would stay silent, sometimes completely highly surprised. What is this going on? I was feeling like a psychotherapy, but spiritual therapy on my sick soul. Very often it happened to me that I could cry for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours during the night, coming to the almost complete exhaustion. I would be completely exhausted, but in such a beautiful way, in such a beautiful manner, I would feel like a little child, completely washed and clean, like from the warm bath. And it was changing for, let's say, about 1 year. I used to live this way, every day and every night, reading New Testament, David Psalms, reading books from the Holy Fathers, and then prayer. And more the light was filling myself. I was in a state of extreme delight. And I was feeling that this is not actually a normal state. I was not feeling normal. But it was some kind of positive madness, if I can say it this way. Because I remember very often and many times this negative madness it was occupying myself during those hard, heavy and painful years in Belgrade and then in New York. But now I found myself in this new state of this beautiful, delightful, positive madness. And it was really not normal state. It was like, I was like, let's say, maybe like sometimes, for example, I would feel very, very, from very big distance, but I would compare this with the taking of those LSD trips. But somebody can say, yes, of course, those were just flashbacks from those narcotics. But no, God knows, my soul knows, that this was this extremely supreme feeling, but absolutely clean. I was taking nothing. And then I have realized that all those drug addicts are actually God seekers, because man in this world is actually seeking this beautiful supreme feeling of living God. But since we don't know Him and we don't know how to get in touch with Him, then we quench our thirst, our spiritual thirst, with drugs. And only being on God, if I can say it this way, only being high on God, then you can feel the supreme delight. Because the feeling of the presence of the Holy Spirit is something most beautiful and most important for human being. Then you really realize what are you and for what are you made, for what are you created. That man, the highest purpose of human life is actually acquiring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just for some saints or hermits who live decades in the desert. Here, in the cities, in the world, we can feel this beautiful taste of the Lord through the prayer, through the reading of Psalms, and through the contemplative reading of those holy texts, mostly David's Psalms, New Testament, and especially Jesus' prayer. I remember sometimes, even out of the prayer, the Holy Spirit would come and fill me and give me to feel this paradisical feeling of my heart and this living in a paradise, living in another world, but being in this world. I remember sometimes I was walking down the street towards the grocery store to buy bread and milk, and all of a sudden the whole reality would change and the Holy Spirit would be all over me and in me, inside of me. It was filling me more and more, and it would be feeling of completely new life, feeling of immortality, feeling of something that you cannot explain by words, but it is something that brings you in high spiritual world. And then in those moments I was forced to stop and just to be in that state, not doing anything in terms of changing this state, just being still and just, if I can say it this way, indulging in it, indulging, just accepting it completely without being disturbed by anything. And if somebody would watch at me at those moments, somebody could say, wow, look at this, just one more disturbed and sick man on New York Street. But I knew it myself, what kind of beautiful madness it was. And oh Lord, make me mad this way, all days, in every day of my life that was left to me. Sometimes this feeling of Holy Spirit would come to me when I was in a car. Once I remember I was going through that tunnel towards New Jersey from New York, and it was big traffic jam, and in the middle of tunnel we were stuck in the jam, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would come to me and I was feeling like I'm burning, and I was like a something was lifting me up higher and higher and higher, but I was still in my car holding tightly my wheel, steering wheel, still being there and being somewhere much above the whole world. And those feelings were so important to me that I could freely say to myself and to the Lord, Lord, take my soul in these moments. I don't want to live. I don't want to go back to the normal, common life, being tasted these feelings. Since when I taste you this way, I don't want to come back to the normal, common life, everyday life. It's like a death to me. Please take my soul. Make me die right now. I don't want to go back. It was so intense. It was so lofty. It was so sublime that it is actually unexplainable. You cannot say, you cannot explain these things by words. And I was really wondering, why is this happening to me? I mean, this is such an intense feeling, such intense states of mind, states of soul, states of spirit. Why does it happen to me? I mean, why I'm nothing extra. I'm not, why I'm excluded in this way from everything that I knew before that. What kind of special transfiguration is this to me? Because I knew that I'm really extremely great sinner, that I did such a dirty things all my youth. And why is this happening to me? I'm not a saint. I'm not an angel. What is this going on? But then in those days, I couldn't find explanation for that. But many years later on, after that, I understood that it was given to me to call me. The Lord was calling me. But since I was such a great sinner, I was so deep into the all those stinking, sinful things that I was doing. It was like a stinking mud that I was, until my neck, dipped in it. So since I was so dirty and sinful, God had to give me so intense feelings of holiness, if I can say this way, so I could really leave this way of life and that I could really start walking towards salvation and cleansing of my soul. So as big is the sinful life and the vices that we used to do, through repentance, the Lord would give the more, much bigger and much intense feelings of salvation of the spiritual realms. Of course, that's not the reason that we should indulge into all those dirty sins, but since we have already committed them, then through repentance we can really taste the paradise. So the time was passing by, but still I didn't go to the church. I was not a churchgoer. And of course, I have come across teachings that, of course, churches is very important, especially the Holy Communion. But somehow I was refusing it. I was saying to myself, well, I don't need really an institution, because I thought a church is just an institution like any other human institutions. So I said, well, I can really confess to the Lord in my heart, in my apartment, and I can really pray in my apartment and be with the Lord. So I don't really need to go to the church and listen to priests, and those priests, they're only men, and they're sinful. They do things that, you know, those were thoughts that were coming to my mind. But then slowly, this feeling of Lord's presence started to fade away. It started to be smaller and smaller. It started to diminish. And then I understood that something is going wrong. Because for a couple of months, I was like not in this world. I was like in paradise. I was like completely mad, but in a beautiful way, man. Madman, but absolutely joyful and happy lunatic. I didn't want to go back to that normal state. I wanted to stay a happy lunatic, if I can express this way. But of course, I have to mention that I was not somebody who cannot take care of himself. Of course, I was working, I was painting, I was making money, but this spiritual discipline was on the first place. But then slowly, as I said, I felt that something is slowly leaking out of me. The Holy Spirit is not present in that intensity as it was in the beginning. And I was thinking and I was worrying, what is this going on? Maybe the whole thing was delusion. Maybe I'm just coming back to the old state of mind and old state of my spirit and soul. And maybe this was all some kind of illusion, some kind of I don't know what. And then, during one deep prayer, when I was crying and calling to the Lord, saying, Lord, please do not leave me. What is this going on all of a sudden? Why I do not have you in myself in this manner as it was last 2 months? And then a thought came across my mind. And this thought told me, as you have read in the books, in spiritual books, you have to go to the church. You have to become churchgoer. You have to attend holy divine liturgy. You have to take communion. I myself am in this communion, in this wine and bread. And I understood that this is really truth and that I have to go to the church. So I have to admit, my friend Ninoslav, we used to see each other pretty often those last 2 months, and I was telling him that how beautifully the whole thing is that I have found in his books. And he told me, well, maybe you should go to the church. He told me this a couple of times, many times, but I was refusing it. And then one day I have called him and I told him, Ninoslav, my friend, please forgive me. I think you're right. I changed my mind. I think I should go to church. Well, tomorrow is Sunday. Please, take me with you to that church that you are going. And I would really like to attend a holy liturgy this Sunday. It was Saturday evening. And he said, of course. So we met next morning because he used to live in Brooklyn as well, but in a further part. And then with my van, we went together. It was Orthodox Christian Church. It was a church called OCA, Orthodox Church in America. It was an independent church that became out of Russian church. At the beginning of 20th century, the Moscow Patriarchate gave independency to this branch of Russian church in America, and it became original American Orthodox Church called Orthodox Church in America, OCA. And they had a cathedral. I think it was East 2nd Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. And it was called Cathedral of the Protection of the Holy Mother of the Lord, dedicated to the Holy Theotokos, to the Mother of the Lord, to the Virgin Mary. So we went there, and I was so beautifully surprised to listen to extremely beautiful choir. And they were singing in a Russian manner, and it was so beautiful, it was so touching, it was so prayerful that I think, if I remember well, I was weeping. I was in the back of the church, and I think I was weeping the whole liturgy, which was more than an hour. And I thought, oh my Lord, oh my God, why I didn't come in your church at first day when I met you, when I realized that you're alive. I have lost so beautiful pearl being locked in my apartment. And from that day on, the Holy Divine Liturgy became something indispensable to myself.
When thou didst submit thyself unto death, O thou deathless and immortal one, then thou didst destroy hell with thy godly power, and when thou didst raise the dead from beneath the earth, all the powers of heaven did cry aloud unto thee. For Christ, thou giver of life, glory to thee. Thank you.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. It was something that I couldn't live without it anymore, and without Holy Communion. When I communed for the first time, it was next Sunday, because I didn't know if I am ready for it, for that, in that first Sunday that I went in church. The very next Sunday, I communed for the first time after, I don't know, maybe I communed last time when I was a little child, when my grandfather was taking me to the church. So, more or less, after almost 22 or 23 years, I communed again in my life. And I felt this flame in my chest, in my heart. It was like I took a piece, a speck of immortality, a speck of fire of immortality in myself, and I was burning inside of me. My whole being was burning, and I felt that I'm really immortal, and I want to stay immortal. That it is not important to me anymore, this peace or harmony of life that I was listening in those meditation camps and meditation teachers, that we acquire peace, inner harmony. It was not enough for me anymore. I wanted immortality. I wanted to be immortal. I didn't want to die. And I have realized that when you receive Holy Spirit, when you receive the very Lord Jesus Christ in yourself, you acquire immortality. And from that Sunday on, I became a regular churchgoer. I was attending church absolutely regularly. And I remember those beautiful, beautiful days. That first year that I was running, I was flying to the church Sunday mornings. I couldn't wait those 7 days. I couldn't wait Sunday to come and to go to the Holy Liturgy. And I remember, as I used to before, run, and I was longing for nightclubs and nightclubbing in all those forms of it. And I was burning out of some kind of, desire to go to the nightclub and to smoke marijuana and to jump and play and then to go with friends and with girls and have sex and all those, you know, stupid, cheap consolations of this life. Now I was running to the Holy Liturgy like I would never run to the nightclub. And I was really a great fan of nightclubbing. The best, the most beautiful club, church became to me. It was divine club. It was the supreme spiritual club, day and night club. It was morning club, Holy Liturgy, the Holy Orthodox Church, my home. Finally, I found my home. Welcome to our radio show, the way, the truth, the life. But there was something that I was still doing during those first 2 months of my conversion into Christianity. I was still smoking pot, still smoking marijuana from time to time. Simply, I just couldn't resist when I would go somewhere. I was not going anymore to nightclubs, but sometimes I would go and visit some friends of mine. And of course, joint of marijuana would always be there. And very often I would refuse, but sometimes I just couldn't resist and I would take a few puffs. And what happened then, it was very, very painful. When I would come stoned home, when I was under the influence of marijuana, the prayer would not come to me. The Holy Spirit would withdraw and I would feel and I would stay empty as an empty can. And of course, I would understand that this happened because I have received another spirit in myself. And the Holy Spirit would withdraw and would say to me, well, you have your consolation, you have your spirit, so you don't need me. And I would be so sad and I would be so mad on myself, so angry with myself, because I was realizing that you cannot be filled with both spirits. And slowly I have realized what kind of spirit was that concealed in marijuana or in cocaine or in alcohol or in sex. It was spirit, but it was not Holy Spirit. It was spirit of this world. It was demonic spirit. It was spirit of Satan by himself. And it was for about maybe less than 2 months that I was struggling with this, and I have realized that I'm really hooked, that I'm really seduced, that I cannot refuse, that I do not have control over myself when the joint of marijuana comes close to me. And I wanted to be only with living God. I wanted to pray. I didn't want to be without it. But then again, it would happen to me that I couldn't resist and I would take joint of marijuana, and then when I would come back home, I would feel this painful, painful and sad emptiness. And then, being aware of this very painful state and that I couldn't have control over myself, I started to pray, especially in the evenings, Lord God, please help me not to take drugs anymore. Free me from drugs. Release me from drugs. Give me strength to refuse. Give me strength to say no next time. And I was feeling so, I was praying with such a strength, with such an effort for this issue. And very often I would feel so exhausted after those prayers, because I was praying with my whole being, Lord God, living God, Son of God, Jesus Christ, please help me not to take drugs anymore. Please help me stop smoking marijuana. And I remember one day I was on my way to my friend's Vlasta's studio. Vlasta, a friend of mine, he was a painter, and he has found this apartment for me in Williamsburg. So, and he was, of course, a grass smoker, like all of my friends. So I went there to visit him, because now he was not that far away from my home. And I loved him. He was a nice guy. He had a great studio. It was one of those great lofts made out of those buildings were factories before, so now they moved those machines and those devices, so now they were rented to artists mostly, and there were big lofts, big spaces, so it was really very nice with him. in his studio. He used to live there and he used to paint there, and he had a very good cassette player. So we would sit there and listen to the music, talking about life, talking about art, and of course smoking marijuana. So this time when I left my home, I felt some kind of strength in myself. I felt some kind of satisfaction in myself. I was content somehow. I was not spiritually hungry. My heart was not craving for marijuana. But I was not really aware of this completely. So I remember I went there and Laster welcomed me. And so we sat there. And then, of course, he rolled the joint. He lit it, and then he gave it to me. And in that moment, I felt, I don't want to smoke. I felt like, I feel good. I feel filled up with some other spirit. I don't want to smoke. And if I smoke again, I will lose the Holy Spirit again. So I said to my friend Vlasta, for the first time, this way, for the first time, with this resolute decision, for the first time in my life, if I remember well, Vlasta, thank you, but I don't want to smoke. He said, really, why? He said, well, I don't feel like, next time. And I remember well, never, ever, from that moment, I smoked a single puff of joint of anything, not even marijuana, but hash, or I never took any kind of narcotic after that day. And I have realized that I managed to quit cigarettes, which was really something like almost impossible to me. And then I have managed to quit marijuana, which was even more hard to me. I thought, okay, I managed to quit cigarettes, but to quit marijuana, it was much, much harder to me. And I thought, I'm never going to be able to quit marijuana. But now, I understood that the Lord is so powerful that you can acquire anything, that you can get anything in your life just with prayer, but with deep, strong prayer. Prayer with effort. Prayer with deep repentance and compunction, and with deep insight that the Lord is the only one who can give you strength for anything in your life. And from that moment on, it was another page in my life. Now, finally, after many, many, many years, I entered into the purity. I was pure. I was clean. I couldn't believe. I'm not smoking marijuana anymore. It was like a nightmare for me for many, many years. I was enjoying it, but then I was regretting always. Enjoying and regretting. Enjoying and regretting. And feeling like I'm not a man, I'm a worm. I don't have a word. I cannot say no. And finally, it was not my enterprise. It was not my accomplishment. Lord, God, the living creator of the universe, He accomplished it for myself. He gave me the strength. He gave me the Holy Spirit with whom I managed to do this. I cannot explain the happiness that I acquired after that beautiful evening refusing joint of marijuana. It was really the greatest victory to myself. Really, to win over yourself is something most lofty. To win yourself, to conquer yourself, to conquer your weakness is the loftiest thing in human's life. And it's good to realize that we cannot conquer ourselves, that we cannot make a victory over our weaknesses without this divine help. So from that day on, together with divine liturgies, together with communing, partaking of holy flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, and being clean, finally, of narcotics, I entered into the state of, let's say, some kind of it was some kind of short temporal holiness. It was not real, full and eternal holiness, but holiness that is given to somebody who really longs for it, and it is only for one period of time. Because since I have a reading about those things, I inquired and I understood that this first holiness doesn't stay there all the time. After a certain period of time, it withdraws, it goes away, so that you can realize that it was not yours, that it comes from above. And then from now on, you have really to fight for it. You have to become ascetic soldier, to become ascetic, to be to go into the ascetical combat with evil spirits and with your fallen nature. So since I stopped smoking marijuana, I stopped completely going out. I didn't go out to meet my old friends anymore at all. I used to visit and see only my friend Ninoslav, because he was a lot into the Orthodox spirituality, and we had common talks, because he was a pretty clever man and well educated. So he knew worldly philosophy, Western philosophy, but also he knew a lot from Orthodox spirituality. So we had nice talks, and he was a very nice man, and he was not an obstacle for my spiritual life. But all the other friends, no matter how much I loved them, they were obstacles to me, because they were dragging me back to the old way of living. So I said, I will quit, I will cut off all those causes for sin again. Because sin for me now was not anymore a moral category. It was something like existential. Because when I make a sin, it's not that, some very harsh and stern God will punish me. But when I do a sin, especially with narcotics, or of course I have realized as well that many other ways of inner consolation, like sex, like alcohol, like masturbating, would always make this wall between me and the Holy Spirit. And I have realized from now on, I don't know for how long, maybe not forever, but I have to quit all those things and be only with the Holy Spirit. And that's why I told myself, now you're going to stay clean, you're going to stay in your apartment, you're not going to visit all those old friends from a certain period of time. And that's how it happened. Of course, I was thinking about getting married. I definitely have decided not to have sexual intercourse with women anymore. And not only that, but not to have orgasm in general. Because through orgasm, I have realized that this energy goes out. And that the masturbation is even worse than promiscuity. And that I have to stop with the masturbation as well. So God gave me strength. Some old connection, some old girlfriends were calling me still, wanted to continue with our sex. But I quit it as well. I said to myself, I cannot make love with these women anymore, because now I want to make love only with the Holy Spirit, only with Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, I didn't want to have sex anymore, this empty, this sad sex with some girl that I don't even know, that I don't even remember her name next day in the morning. So of course, I was not yet thinking about monastic life, about monastery. I was, of course, thinking about marriage, thinking how to find nice, decent, faithful girl, Christian girl, that we can get married, and then, of course, to have children and marriage. So that's why I quit with this having intercourses with women. So I started to live in the world like a monk. I didn't know that I'm going to become monk. I didn't know that yet. But I said, now I'm going to live clean as much as it is possible in the world. And for that effort, really, I have to say that the Lord granted me a lot. He gave me really great gifts that only my soul knows. How is it beautiful? How it is beautiful to be pure, to be completely clean of all those worldly consolations. So one day in the church, I have met my future icon painting teacher. I met a man who taught me how to paint icons, because I was always into the arts, and I was making sculptures and I was painting, but I didn't feel that that was my real calling. I knew that I had to do art in my life, but I didn't really know what kind of art. And one day when we were in our little refectory hall, when we would take, you know, coffee or tea after the Divine Liturgy, my new spiritual father, Father Makari, who was the priest at that church, he introduced me to his friend and cousin, Daniel Breno. He was a Brazilian, and he was an artist, an icon painter. And from the very first moment, if I can say this well, this way, I fell in love with this man. He was really a beautiful person, and we became friends. We became friends, and he became a very important person in my life. He became teacher. He became my teacher of this beautiful spiritual art, spiritual discipline, if I can say this way, because iconography isn't just mere art. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a prayer by itself. And about this great and very important happening in my life, about this meeting with Daniel Breno and our common work together, I will continue in the new part, in the new episode of my story. I hope that I was not very confused and I was not very dispersed with my explanations, with my talking this time. I think I was. I'm a little bit tired, and the weather is bad. I have a headache. But I hope you can grasp what I'm trying to say. So I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amfilohije.